we are starting a new series today, and I just feel like in light of what's happened for us and our family this week, this message I'm about to speak to you today is just an appropriate message for the appropriate time for what's happened with my father. And I'll talk more about that in just a few minutes, about why I think that, why I say that. But we're starting a series called Roots. And this is going to be a four-week series, and it's, during this four-week series, we're going to talk about four different things. Today, I'm going to talk about uprooting weeds, okay? And then next week, we're going to talk about, Bill Forbes is going to actually speak next week. Yeah, we're excited for Bill Forbes to speak for the first time here at McMorran. He is going to speak the message, Establishing Roots. And then week three, I'll come back and talk about growing roots. And week four, we're going to have a DCSM, that's Diverse City Student Ministries, takeover service. And Scott Smith is going to be speaking about your roots affect your fruit. Okay, so we're excited about that. So you'll want to be here for all four of this series. So to start this off, I want you to look at one scripture with me today as we begin. We'll have many more scriptures, but this one I want you to keep a close eye on. This is our foundation scripture for today. It's Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. If you can look at it on the screen with me, or if you have it in your Bible or on your phone or your tablet, click there with me. Now look at this. It says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. I'm going to say that again. Those who are dominated, highlight, underline, circle that word. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled, highlight, underline, circle that word, by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Amen. How many of you have heard this scripture before? Okay, several. So I'm going to talk today about this scripture, and I want to show you something at the beginning of this. In verse 5, the words dominated and controlled are actually the same word in the Greek, okay? I know they're two different words in English, but in the Greek, they're the same exact word, and the word is kata. Kata means down. The short definition is down, okay? The short definition is down, but the longer definition, there are like four different definitions that are tied together in this word. And the longer definition that I want you to see is reaching down into the depth and used of motion or extension through a space from top to bottom, hence through or throughout. Okay, that's what the extended version definition of that word, kata. It means from top to bottom, through the entire thing, throughout. Okay? From top to bottom, throughout. Now, it's important that you understand that because this word, kata, is expressed in two different words, dominated and controlled. Now, I love that when the Bible was interpreted, I love that these two different words were used. Because look what it's saying, those who are dominated by the sinful nature. And then the next part of that verse, but those who are controlled by Holy Spirit. You're going to either be dominated by your sinful nature or you're going to be controlled by Holy Spirit. Either one. You can't have both. Hello? Are you awake today? You cannot have both. You cannot be dominated by your sinful nature and still be controlled by Holy Spirit. If you are dominated by your sinful nature, you are not being controlled by Holy Spirit. If you are controlled by Holy Spirit, on the other hand, you cannot be dominated by your sinful nature. Did you get that? You can't have one or the other, but if you have the control of the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is controlling your mind, then your sinful nature cannot dominate your life. I know that sounds simple, but many of us just miss this. We miss this. We allow ourselves to be dominated by our sinful nature because we are not letting Holy Spirit control our minds. So let me show you this. So, The definition of these two words really comes to light in verse 6. If you look at verse 6, it really brings all this together. Verse 6 says, so letting, look at somebody, say letting. Letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting, look at somebody else, say letting. Letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. I'm telling you, two trees, two choices, two voices. Throughout the entire Word of God, amen? Two choices. You can let your sinful nature control your mind and it leads to death. You can let Holy Spirit control your mind and it leads to life and peace. It's your choice. The Bible does not say, this scripture does not say that your sinful nature just took you hostage and handcuffed you and you had no choice but to be dominated by your sinful nature. That's not what it says, does it? There's a key word here that I want you to pay attention to today. It's letting. You can let yourself, you can let your mind be dominated by your sinful nature. Or you can let your mind be controlled by Holy Spirit. Which one are you going to do? Which choice are you making? That's the question today. Which choice are we making? And who are we allowing and letting to control our lives? Letting your sinful nature, think about this, the word letting there, letting your sinful nature reach down into the depth. Letting your sinful nature move throughout from top to bottom. That's what this scripture is saying. You can let your sinful nature permeate every part of you. You can let your sinful nature move from the top to the bottom throughout your life. Or you can let Holy Spirit move from top to bottom. Listen, roots grow down, don't they? Roots grow down. They start at the top and they grow down. Has anybody ever started a plant from a seed? Anybody ever done that? Started a plant from a seed? Okay, if you start, it's garden time, right? Everybody's, how many have a garden or how many are planting something, okay? If you're doing that and you start from seed, you put the seed in the dirt, in the soil, okay? You put the seed in the soil and you know, there's many different ways depending on the seed, but once you put the seed in the soil and you give it the proper amount of water and time and everything, what happens is that seed begins to sprout and that seed begins with roots first. How many of you know that? Roots come first before the plant comes out. Roots first. So the roots actually start from the top, okay, of that soil and move down through the soil. Moves throughout. And once the roots start to move throughout the soil, then something starts to sprout out of the dirt in the top. Okay? We need to understand that this is what this word is saying. Kata means to move from top to bottom, to permeate, to reach down deep. It's planting roots in our lives. These roots start in our minds and they work from top to bottom. I'm gonna tell you something right now. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care what kind of terrible things are happening. You were not born that way. I'm so tired of people saying, well, this is just me. This is how I was born. I was just born this way. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. And many of us do not even realize the things that are happening in our lives today and in the situations that we're in. We do not even realize that these things were thoughts that were rooted, that took root in our minds years ago in our lives, and they created these strongholds in our minds, and the reason that we do the things we do and operate the way we operate are they have to go way back to the seed that was planted, maybe a lie that was planted from the enemy that sprouted roots down from top to bottom and permeated, went throughout from top to bottom our entire being. But I need to stop for a second and give you a couple more things before I get ahead of myself. You need to understand that we have a choice. We have a choice. We can let Satan have his way with us, and subsequently we are letting him have his way in our minds, or we can let the Lord God have his way with us, and by following his word, we are subsequently letting Holy Spirit have his way with our minds. you're going to let one or the other happen. It doesn't just happen. You let it happen. The point is we let these things happen. We have to let them happen. Look at somebody and say, you have to let it happen. This immediately, that song popped into my mind now, you know. You're full of life now. You're full of passion. It's how he made you. Just let it happen. Right? Wow, I want to sing that now. Just let it happen. You can let how he made you. You can let what he desires for your life happen. You can let it happen. Or you can let what the enemy wants to take place in your life happen. You have a choice to let it happen. I think it's interesting how many times we want to complain about the turmoil in our lives and the position that we're in. And we're asking God, why did you let this happen? When he never let it happen, you let it happen. We want to blame God for things that are happening in our lives that we let happen. Come on, y'all. Is it just me? It was our choice. We made the decisions that led to this end. We are in the position we're in. We're in the place we're in because of what we allowed or who we allowed to have control of our minds. This is just truth. This is just the Word of God. I'm not making this stuff up. It's all throughout the Word of God. It's all based on who we allowed to have control. And I'm not saying that all trouble and turmoil and difficult situations are because we let the enemy in. I know there are times that turmoil and trials are going to come our way. Peter said, just consider it all joy when you face trials of many kinds. He said, just don't be worried about it. Be joyful about it when you're in trials. Don't worry about that. But here's the trials he was talking about. Peter said that if you're being attacked because you're a Christian, if you're being attacked because you bear the name of Jesus, if you're being persecuted because you carry the name of Jesus, the light of Christ in your life, then you better consider it all joy. Just dance and shout and be happy about it. But if you're being persecuted or if you're in turmoil and in troubled situations because you allowed the enemy to come into your life and have his way with you, you better not shout for joy about that. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what Peter said. He said, those are the things he's talking about. A lot of times we're like, well, I'm in a trial and I'm just gonna shout for joy. I'm just gonna be happy about it because I'm in a trial and I know God's gonna get me out of it. No, you're in that trial because you allowed yourself to get there. You allowed the enemy to come into your life and plant thoughts in your mind, and those thoughts took root and permeated from top to bottom, and your actions follow your thoughts. Amen. It's the truth. And when I say you, I should say we. I'm not pointing a finger at you. I'm saying we all do this. We all do this. I don't have a lot of time, but I'm going to take this example for a minute. If you're married today, raise your hand if you're married. All right, man, a lot of married people. So if you're married, you'll get this. If you're not married, you're going to get it when you get married. I don't mean that sounded bad. You're going to get it when you get married. You are going to get it. Boy, I'm telling you, you're in for it. No, it's good stuff. But this is good. But it's what you make of it. It's what you let happen. Right? Right? Married people? Husbands? Let me talk to the husbands for a moment. Because we are all mainly the stupid ones who open our mouths when we shouldn't. We are the stupid ones who let the enemy have his way with our minds when we shouldn't. We just need to learn to shut up until we hear Holy Spirit. Right? If you're like me, husbands, if you're like me, it took you a long time to learn this lesson. Some of us still haven't learned it. But what we do is we get in a discussion. Discussion. It's not an argument. It's a discussion. We're having a healthy discussion, a very loud, healthy discussion. Somebody might be throwing some stuff. And we get into this discussion and we can let the enemy have his way, be dominated by his thoughts, by the things he's planting in our minds. Because don't you understand that the enemy is all about division? The Bible said, he who God has joined together, let no man separate. Right? So don't you know the enemy is going to try to separate anything that God has joined together? Don't you understand that? If you're having difficulty in your marriage, it's because the enemy is trying to separate. God is not trying to separate. If you're letting your mind be controlled by Holy Spirit, you will be actually drawing closer to your spouse, not drawing away from them. But if you're letting the enemy dominate your mind, then what's happening is, guys, we open our mouths and say, and stupid stuff just comes out. How many of you men, I'm just talking to men right now. How many of you men had to go back later and say, I'm sorry, honey, for saying that. I didn't mean that. I don't know where that came from. Come on. I mean, you said hurtful things. You said things. Listen, here, sometimes this is where it gets really deep. Sometimes you're saying those things and as they're coming out of your mouth, you know they're going to sting. You know they're going to cut. You know they're going to wound, but you still let it come out of your mouth. And I'm going to get to this in just a moment, how we change this, how we turn it around, how we uproot. Today we're talking about uprooting weeds. But you need to understand the first step in uprooting weeds is knowing that they're a weed. Right? Understanding that thought or that's coming into our mind, that is not from God. That is not from the Spirit of God. If you don't recognize where that's coming from, then you're not going to be able to take control of it. You're not going to be able to do something about it. You're just going to keep acting that way. And men, how many of you know we can't keep acting like fools and expect our marriages to be good? So you need to understand that you let this happen. You can let this happen. You know, let the enemy have his way in your mind, or you can let Holy Spirit have his way. It's all up to you. But I have good news for you today. Many people don't realize that they are letting the enemy have the access to their minds because of deep roots that were established in them. Some of these roots may have been there since childhood. In fact, many of them are. These roots were established in us by the enemy for the purpose of building strongholds in our minds. When I was a child, there were some things that happened to me that caused roots to be established in my mind that worked their way down to my heart and wrapped themselves around my heart and caused me to act a certain way. And here's what happens when those kind of things take place. I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to say it, y'all. We're all men and women here. We're all adults. I was molested as a child by a distant family member. And because that happened when I was 8 years old, the enemy came in immediately. This is how it works. And I just feel like somebody needs to hear this right now, because there's some people in this place, many in this place, this has happened to you. The enemy comes in, and immediately when that happened, before it was still fresh, the enemy came in and said, this is your fault. You caused this to happen. There's something wrong with you. You're broken. That's why this happened to you. You brought this on yourself. You deserve this. This is why this happened to you, because this is all your fault. These are the lies that came from the enemy to an 8-year-old boy who didn't know any better and who didn't understand. And what happened when that seed was planted, it took root and it worked its way down. And then when I was a 16-year-old young man, all these symptoms were coming out. All these actions were taking place where I had these addictions that would start to manifest in my life. And here's what happens. What happens is we try to deal with the symptoms instead of getting to the root. well, he's a drug addict, and he's an alcoholic, and he's a sex addict, and he's this, and he's that, and he's all these things, and he's just a terrible person. And we see somebody in those type of conditions, and we immediately want to address the symptoms. We immediately are offended by the symptoms when we don't realize that there was a root that was planted in their life years ago, and it worked its way down from top to bottom, and it caused them to act this way. And we as the church don't understand this and don't realize it. And we want to shake our finger in their face. And we want to say, oh, they're just a bad seed. Oh, they're just a bad person. Oh, what's wrong with them? They keep acting this way and they keep hurting people. Well, why don't you take a look at the roots in their lives, and then you'll realize why that's happening to them. I'm so glad that I wasn't just thrown away by my parents. I'm so glad that they didn't just turn their back on me. I'm so glad that I had a praying mother who prayed day and night for God to reveal the root that was in my life and expose it so it could be severed. But not everybody has that. Not everybody has a praying parent. Not everybody has a parent who's on their knees like that and crying out to God for them. Not everybody has that. And so we, the church, have to be that. I think that's why my heart was so strong. I was a youth pastor for 18 years. I think that's why my heart was so pulled in that direction, because I saw so many teenagers going through the very same things I went through, and nobody saw that it was the roots that were causing this. It wasn't that they were a bad person. It wasn't that they were a bad seed. We didn't need to turn our backs on them. We needed to love them and wrap our arms around them and dig down deep with them and expose the root to the light of Christ and then sever it at the bottom. And I'm going to tell you something. There are many of you in this place today, most of you in this place today, that haven't dealt with some roots. There are some roots in your life. See, because teenagers grow up and become adults. And those symptoms don't go away. They may change, but they don't go away. Do you understand what I'm saying? Please don't take this the wrong way. Please don't get offended. But you can go to all the AA meetings you want to go to. And this is, listen, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. What I'm saying is, but the root is still there. If you don't deal with the root, then you're going to walk around saying, I'm a recovering alcoholic. But if you let Jesus deal with the root, you're not recovering anymore. You're set free. There are too many people walking around recovering from symptoms in their life, but you're always going to be recovering if you don't get to the root of the problem and let the Holy Spirit pull it out. That sounds like I'm mad. I'm not mad. I'm passionate. I'm passionate because if we can get this, we can truly be set free, and we can help others get set free. This is the church that Christ died for. He died for a church that is truly set free from top to bottom. He doesn't want us just recovering all the time. He doesn't want us just limping by until we get to heaven. He wants us to be truly free. I am totally getting off my notes, but that's okay. I'm staying right here. Listen, this is why I said this is a perfect message for this week. My dad went home to be with Jesus at 1:02 p.m. Thursday afternoon. It was the most joyous celebration we had during that time, mixed with the sorrow of missing him for the next few years. But you know, our life is but a mist. I said to Dad last week, I said, Dad, you know, the Bible says your life is but a mist. Is that true today? I mean, you know in a couple days you're going home. Is that true? He said, absolutely, son. He said, it went by so fast. So fast. And I know if you're like me and you're getting older in age, you're thinking the same thing. You're like, boy, this went by fast. I mean, how did our kids get grown and have their own kids? Right? How did our grandkids already get grown and have their own kids? What happened to the time? Well, the time, Jesus said, Bible says it's but a mist. But that's just this life here on earth. That's just the beginning. Dad is really just starting his life. Think about it. Dad is really just 3 days old. You know? Kim and I talked about this last night. I said, what do you think dad's doing? Well, she said, I still think my dad's still singing and kneeling at the feet of Jesus. And he went home back in July of last year. So I say this because in the last couple of years with my father, I've been talking to him about this because my father and my mother are amazing people. You see, what you don't know is that they had all these deep-rooted issues in their lives, all these seeds that were planted by the enemy because they did not have Christ-following parents to raise them. They were not raised in Christian homes. They didn't have parents a legacy left to them. They started the legacy. What's happening today? I said to Dad last week, I said, do you realize, Dad, all that's happening today, every soul that will be saved through this outpouring, through this movement that God is using us to lead, every soul that is saved, you have responsibility for that. This is part of your legacy. If you're attending the River Church today and you gave your heart to Jesus, since I've been the pastor, my dad has a share in that legacy. That's powerful. Coming from non-Christian parents who did not serve the Lord. My grandfather, the week before he died, he gave his heart to the Lord because my dad decided to go back into the house because he was leaving. He's like, I'm done with this. My grandfather is an alcoholic. My dad said, I'm done with this. I'm leaving. You're not going to do this in front of my kids anymore. My dad, because my mom encouraged him to, got out of the car, went back into the house in Dearborn, Michigan, the week before my grandfather died, and he led my grandfather to the Lord. 1 week later, George Wall was in heaven with Jesus. My dad had no idea. My grandfather was 59 years old when he died. My dad had no idea that that was about to happen to his father. But they started the legacy. But here's the thing. My dad's done amazing things, and he was an amazing man of God. But here's the thing. I talked with my dad in the last several years, and there were so many roots in his life that he never got to the bottom of. He never got to those roots. He didn't know how. It wasn't that he didn't want to. He just didn't know how to get down there and let Holy Spirit dig down deep and pull them out from the bottom. And because of those roots, things were happening in his life. Things would show up in his mind and in his language. He'd say stuff like he was afraid. In the last year or so, he was concerned and afraid about dying. And it wasn't because he didn't know that he was going to see Jesus, but he was concerned about his family. He was concerned about all these things. Listen, those are roots from the enemy. There should be no fear in death to us who are born again. No fear. But I've seen it throughout the church. I was raised in church, and I've seen this throughout the church, that the church walks around in just as much fear as the world about death. Why are we holding on to this life so tightly? Why do we have such a death grip on this life? Do you really want to stay here forever? We should be longing for the day that this body goes into the grave. Because that's the day we truly become free. That's the day we truly become who God created us to be. I mean, we'll be in heaven for eternity. So my dad was part of that generation that was raised in the church that there was just that fear. I mean, you know, and so I know I'm getting way off track here, but is it okay if I just keep going this way? You know, it's like being raised in the church. I always hate is a strong word. I always disliked, really badly disliked, really, really disliked some of the songs we would sing because they were so depressing. Oh my goodness, it was almost like that Hee Haw song, gloom, despair, and agony on me, oh! You know what I mean? It's what I felt like as I was 7 years old laying under the pew, crawling from the front of the church to the back of the church to see how many times I could do it, and timing myself. Anybody raised in church, you did the same thing as a kid? You know what I'm talking about? Yep. My mom would, if she could get me, if she could get her hands on me, she'd snatch me up and then give me to my dad, and he'd take carry me out and whip me. But, so, I mean, think about it. These songs, some of these songs that we would sing were just all wrapped up in fear. Wrapped up in fear. right? Or wrapped up in misunderstanding about what this life is supposed to be. This life is supposed to be our time to change the world. I love what Lydia was singing in the free flow here in worship. She was singing, she's talking about, you know, the one thing we want when we get to Jesus is we don't want to stand there and go, man, I could have done more, I could have done more, I could have done more. Right? Kim and I said to each other, 7, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, we said to each other, we want to waste our life for Christ. That's what led us here. We want to waste our life for Christ. I don't care how tired I get. I don't care how exhausted I am. I don't care about all of that. I've got one life here on this earth. I've got one time. Today, I consider today that my one time to say some things to you that you need to hear. This may be the only time that you hear these things for the rest of your life on this earth. So I need you to hear it loud and clear. Don't let the enemy have his way with your mind, because it works from the top to the bottom, all the way through. You need to expose the roots and the lies of the enemy and let Holy Spirit rip them out of you so you can truly be free and live the life that Jesus died to give you. Whew. Let me be clear with this. Satan's strategy from the beginning, from the very beginning, was to control our thinking. That was his strategy from the very beginning. Can't you see it in the Garden of Eden? Yeah. It's exactly what he tried to do. God told Adam and Eve who they are and what he's given them. He showed them their inheritance. Think about this. He laid it before them. This is your inheritance. You have the entire earth. It's all yours. It all belongs to you. And then he said, you can eat from any tree in the garden. Except if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it will kill you. So I would advise you not to eat from that tree. This is their creator telling them this. What did Satan do? He came in the form of a serpent and he started speaking to them and challenging their thinking, trying to control their thinking. He tried to change their thinking. What did God say? He said that we should not eat of any tree in the garden, or we should not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We can eat of any tree, but not that tree. And if we eat of it, or even touch it, Eve said, we will surely die. Well, right away, something just changed. Did you see that? God didn't say, if you touch it, he just said, if you eat of it. Right? So this is the ploy of the enemy to get in there and start working on the thinking. He said, you will not surely die. God just knows that if you eat of it, you'll become like him. How many of you know they already were like him, created in his image? So you see, he's starting to toy with their thinking. He's trying to gain control of their thinking. He's trying to get them to agree with him. If he can get them to agree with him, he just gained access and control to their minds. Right? Give you an example. How many of you, you've experienced somebody cutting you off in traffic or doing something terrible to you on the road? We call it road rage. How many? Anybody? Anybody? Come on. Now's the time to confess. Raise your hands. Come on. Get them up there. You know you all have. Every one of you. Road rage, right? Okay, maybe it's not rage. Road anger. Road, I don't like you. Road, if I weren't a Christian, I would flip you off and cut you back off. You know what I'm saying? Because some of you are like, yeah, how many of you had those thoughts? Somebody did something to you and you had those thoughts to do something. Okay, you had the thoughts, but you didn't do it, okay? Because you're a goody two-shoes. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Well, the reason, okay, so think about what the enemy's doing. Is it God's will? Is it his plan? Is it his desire that we do that to somebody? Whatever they've done to us, is it his desire that we do it to them? Do unto others what they've done to you. Right? That's the golden rule, right? Do unto others what they've done to you. Pay them back for what they've done to you. Is that the golden rule? No. What is it? Do unto others what you would have them do unto you. Listen to me. It's not enough to withhold hurt. That's not the golden rule. It's not enough to withhold hurt. It's not enough to withhold that bad language. It's not enough to withhold the negative thoughts. It's not enough just to abstain from that. That's not what the golden rule is. The golden rule doesn't say abstain from doing to them what they did to you. Are you hearing me? The golden rule goes the extra mile. Do to them what you would have them do unto you, what you would want them to do unto you. So when they do something to you, do to them what you would really want them to have done to you. Amen. Come on, y'all. But what the enemy wants to do is he wants to twist it. Somebody does something to us. Somebody's mean to us. Somebody says something hateful to us. And then what the enemy does is those thoughts come into your mind. How can I pay them back? How can I get them back? How can I say something on Facebook that is a dig against them, but it doesn't sound like I'm doing a dig against them, but I want them to know I'm doing a dig against them. And the reason I know that so well is because those thoughts have gone through my mind. Hello? Nobody's exempt from this. Listen to me, people have said hateful, hurtful things about this church and about what God's doing here. Hateful things. And about my family. Called us demon-possessed. Things like that. Okay? I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about men of God have said things about us. And here's the thing. The enemy will come in and go, well, you could just put this little scripture on Facebook and you could just put them in their place. Yeah, the enemy will even use scripture. Do you know that? He did it with Jesus. What makes you think he won't use it on you? But he'll twist it. Because he's trying to gain control of your thinking. And so if I am letting myself be controlled by the enemy and by those thoughts, then I'm going to get on Facebook and I'm going to try to put something, even if it's a scripture, so I can put them in their place. When the Bible says, do to them what you would have them do unto you. So you know what we should do? We should love them. We should pray for them. We should honor them. They dishonored me, but I'm going to honor them. They disrespected me, but I'm going to respect them. Oh, I know this is hard. Come on. I know it's hard, but this is the word of God. So, these things are in our minds. These things are controlling our actions. Listen to this. If Satan he can control your mind, he can control your outcome. You need to know that. The things you do, the things you say, the way you act, they're always controlled by your thoughts. And whoever is in control of your thoughts controls your actions. So how do we fix this? That's what we need to get to. How do we fix this? We have to do some uprooting. The word uproot means to draw out by force or with effort. Draw out by force or with effort. I'm telling you right now, this will take effort on your part. To uproot these weeds that are in your life, it's going to take effort on your part. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. Amen. There's no instantaneous process. Just like weeding a garden doesn't just happen. You don't just walk out there and wave a magic wand and all the weeds just uproot and scatter. Right? Don't you wish it would happen that way? I hate weeding, don't you? I hate doing that. I hate going through the garden and having to pull out every weed. And then sometimes those weeds look like the plant. Especially when the plant's young, you know what I'm talking about? You ever do that? One time I pulled out a whole row of the plant before I realized that they weren't weeds. That's when I was young. Mom and Dad had a huge garden on the farm we used to live on. They had this big, huge, I mean it was big. Like the rows of green beans were like 6 miles long. And Mom would hand us the big bushel baskets early Saturday morning, say, I need you to go out and pick a whole row of beans. And I'm like, okay, I'll see you in about a month. And then we'd get out there and we'd start picking beans. This has nothing to do with the message. I just got to tell you the story. We'd get out there, we'd start picking beans. And there's four of us kids, and then we got bored, so we'd start throwing beans at each other. There'd be more beans on the ground than there were in the basket. Weeding takes effort. This is going to take work on your part. You're going to have to get down and dirty in the dirt. Okay? But it's worth doing it. It's worth the effort, because if you can, by allowing Holy Spirit to work through you, if you can get these weeds out of your life, if you can uproot them, these lies that the enemy planted in you maybe long ago, like he did in me when I was a child, then it's going to, it's not only going to take all the symptoms away, but it's going to leave this place that God can get in that soil and do what he wants to do and plant what he wants to plant. Some of you don't even realize, but you're missing your calling and your destiny because you got so many weeds in your life. Oh man, thank you, Jesus. I feel like right now somebody needs to hear this, and you feel like you've missed it. You feel like it's passed you by. God placed a dream in your heart long ago when you were a child, and you feel like it's gone. I missed it. I blew it. It's not gone, and you didn't miss it, and you didn't blow it. It doesn't matter where you're at or how old you are, God can still use you and still has a plan and purpose for your life. That's what I shared with my dad in the last couple of years. Even up to a few weeks ago. Up to a few weeks ago, I was telling my dad, God's not finished. He's got a plan for you. He's got work for you. Oh yeah, Pastor Bill, but now here a couple weeks later, he's in heaven. Yeah, he's in heaven a couple weeks later. But what did he do with that couple of weeks? Come on. You hear what I'm saying? Is one soul worth it? Is it? Y'all don't sound convinced. Is one soul worth it? If one soul is worth it, then all you need is one day. All you need is one conversation. All you need is one touch. And I'm telling you that I would rather have that one conversation, have that one touch with that one soul, completely free of all the roots of the enemy and full of the Spirit of God from top to bottom, than I would with all the mess that the enemy planted in my life. How many of you believe that I could be more effective? I could be more effective if I was completely full of Holy Spirit and had no roots, no weeds from the enemy in my life. How many believe that? Don't you know that? Come on, y'all, think about this with me. Think about the Word of God. Think about what we read in the Word of God about the disciples. Think about this. When Peter was walking along and the sun was shining, he was so full of the Spirit of God. He so emptied himself of everything else and allowed Holy Spirit to fill him up so completely. I don't believe there are any roots left in his life from the enemy. And he's walking along and the sun's shining about him, and his shadow was cast just like mine is on the stage here. And every sick person that he crossed, his shadow crossed, they got up and walked away well. There's something powerful about that, right? And I believe it's because Peter did a lot of weeding. He let Holy Spirit get in there and pull all those weeds out. Come on, Jesus was helping him do some weeding while Jesus was on the earth. Remember when he turned to Peter in the Bible, he turned to Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And Peter's all offended, like, "What? I've been with you for 3.5 years. Jesus wasn't talking to Peter. Jesus was talking to the enemy who had influence over Peter. Think about that. Peter was speaking the language of the enemy, and the only reason the language of the enemy would come out of his mouth is because there was a root in his life. And Jesus was grabbing that root and grabbing that weed and just yanking it right out of him. Come on, man. Jesus. Barakata soto baraka. I see Holy Spirit right now grabbing weeds, grabbing them by the roots and yanking them out of you. I see that happening. Can you just close your eyes and see that in the Spirit with me? I see him right now grabbing roots. There are some of you in this place right now that you have been lied to by the enemy your entire life. Some of you, I'm going to go back to what I dealt with. Some of you have been molested by someone in your life when you were young. Some of you have been molested, something bad's happened to you like that sexually. And I'm telling you right now, the enemy has lied to you your entire life and told you it was your fault, and it's been manifested in your actions later in your life. But God, by the power of Holy Spirit, is going to reach down today. If you will let him, he's going to reach down and yank that weed out of you by its roots. You're going to be set free completely. And I just don't want to go any further until I deal with that. If that's you right now, and something like that happened, you don't have to raise your hand. I just want you to surrender yourself to the Lord right now. Come on, just place your hands out on your lap if you want. Just open them up. Surrender yourself to the Lord. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm letting you do this. I'm letting you do this. Holy Spirit, I'm letting you do this. I'm letting you take control of my mind. I'm letting you rip these weeds out of my life right now. Yes, Father. I feel like people are watching right now from live stream, and that's happening. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. So, let me just show you a couple scriptures, then I'll close. 2 Corinthians. So this is, if you will, I know I said it will take effort, but what I'm about to show you not only works if you do it consistently, but it's the only way to uproot these weeds out of your life. You ready? 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 say, for although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. Those are strongholds. To dismantle strongholds. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought. Look at somebody, say every thought. And insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. This is how you do it. This right here is how you do it. How do we demolish strongholds? How do we allow Holy Spirit to rip those roots out of our lives that the enemy has planted in us, that have permeated us from the top to the bottom? The Word. The Word. It's the only way. Did you hear me? The only way to do this is the Word. Look at somebody, say, it's the Word. It's the Word. The Word's the only way. There is no other way. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? Who's the only way? Jesus. Who's the only way? Jesus. Okay, so Jesus said this. Jesus said, the Bible says this in John 1:1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is not only the only way, Jesus is the Word. So there's only one way to uproot these weeds. There's only one way to demolish these strongholds, the Word. He's the only way. He's the only way. The Bible says the Word is our weapon of warfare. The Bible says that it's the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:18, and take the mighty razor sharp spirit sword of the spoken Word of God. It's not enough to read the Word. It's not enough to read it. You have to understand that you can't just read the Word. If you're going to uproot the lies of the enemy, you have to speak the Word of God out loud. It's not enough to read the Word, and it's not enough just to meditate on the Word. You have to speak the Word. It's not enough to stop saying negative things. It's not enough to stop acting negatively. It's not enough to do those things. It's good to stop doing wrong things. You should. But the real harvest comes in our lives when we plant the seed by doing the right thing. The real harvest comes into our lives when we speak the Word of God out loud. Someone once said this. They said, you can't defeat Goliath with your mouth shut. 1 Samuel 17 tells us that when David was preparing to do battle with Goliath, he ran toward him, confessing out loud what he believed the end result of the battle would be. He didn't go to him all meekly like, oh, I hope you don't kill me today, and I hope this works. I've got five of these. I hope they work. It's not what David did. He ran toward the enemy. He ran toward Goliath. He opened up his mouth and he declared the word of the Lord. Look at it with me. 1 Samuel 17, 45 and 46. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." You know what David did? You know what David did? He's back here and he ran up here and said, "I'm crushing this snake right here, right now." He spoke the word of the Lord. It wasn't about the sling and it wasn't about the stone. The enemy, the giant was already defeated when he ran to him speaking and declaring the word of the Lord. The stone was just the end result. The battle is won with the spoken word of God. So if you're going to uproot the negative thoughts that have been established in your life by the enemy, the first thing you must do is stop running away from the enemy. Quit running from the enemy. Look at somebody, say, "Stop running. Turn, run toward the enemy. Turn and run toward him. Open up your mouth. Speak the word of God." The first thing I did, I know I'm about finished. Hang with me. Sunshine is still going to be shining when we get out of here. Trust me. I hope. They said it was going to be sunny all day, but you never know with the weathermen, right? The first thing I did when I started to defeat the enemy and to let Holy Spirit uproot those weeds in my life, you know, those lies that the enemy planted when I was a child that said, "This is your fault. You did this. It's all because of you." And here's some other lies that the enemy told me that I didn't get to say. The enemy would say this: "You can't tell anybody." 8 years old, dealing with this crushing oppression from the enemy. 8 years old. The enemy's telling me, "This is your fault, and you did this, and you brought this on yourself, and you can't tell anybody about it. You can't tell your parents, because if you tell your parents, they won't want you anymore. Because you're broken and you're dirty." Are you hearing me? We're not fighting against the enemy who plays fair. We're not fighting against the enemy who cares anything about you. His mission is to destroy us. So we cannot for 1 second take a back seat. We cannot for 1 second keep our mouths shut. It's time that the people of God and the family of God and the army of God and the church of the living God rise up and speak the word of God out loud and defeat the enemy that is attacking our lives. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I have all power and authority because Jesus, the Son of the living God, lives in me. And I'm going to open up my mouth and I'm going to speak the word of God. I'm not afraid. Fear has no hold on me. The enemy cannot do anything to me. The power of God lives inside of me. So you're going to have to open up your mouth, people of God. You're going to have to open up your mouth and speak the word of God. Speak the truth of God's word. He's attacking. The enemy's attacking your mind right now. Some of you are here and the enemy's attacking your mind right now and saying, "Oh, how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? You don't even know the word." You can know the word. In fact, I guarantee you that there's more word in you than you realize. Just give me one more second. Stay with me. Stay standing for a moment. There's more word in you than you realize. There's more power and authority in you than you realize. Think about this. How many of you had children? It doesn't have to be children, a loved one. If you're with a loved one, grab hold of them right now. If you're with somebody you just love, grab hold of them right now. Come on, grab them. Now think about this. Think about if the most nasty, ruthless, despicable criminal came into this place and try to rip your loved one away from you and kill them. Think about if that happened right here and right now. You don't realize the power that's inside of you. You don't realize what would rise up inside of you. You'd become superhuman just like that. I don't know about you, but don't you mess with my family. You don't want to see what happens here. I will turn into Captain America. I promise you. You know what I'm saying? It's like you go to another level and you didn't even realize. It's like this adrenaline rush comes upon you. But how much more do you think this happens in the spirit realm? How much more do you think the lion of the tribe of Judah rises up within you when the enemy tries to mess with you or mess with your loved one? The lion of the tribe of Judah rises up. I know dad's up in heaven clapping right now going, that is right. That is right. Preach it, son. So why don't you let that happen? Why don't you let the lion rise up inside of you? The king of all kings. Quit settling for where you're at. Quit putting up with these weeds in your life. Let Jesus rise up. Let him rise and let the enemy be scattered. Let him be crushed. Yeah, Jesus. Close your eyes. Close your eyes with me. Close your eyes.